Dear brothers and sisters, man is a conscious being. Ever since he is born, when 3 or 4 years old, child, you ask him who you are. He simply opens his eyes, opens his mouth, he feels something here. It's some consciousness of his own self, but he cannot explain. As he grows in years, the outer impressions he receives through eyes, through ears, and through other outgoing faculties. Then you ask him after some time who you are, he says, I'm Mr. Joseph, I'm Smith, I'm Khan, I'm Jin, I'm such and such. Those impressions you receive, you begin to feel them like that. Again, when you grow more old, then you ask him who you are, he says, I'm a Christian, I'm a Sikh, I'm a Mohammedan, I'm a Jew. The child which has got little consciousness at the age of 3 years or so, he forgets all this. He is so much influenced by the outer impressions, he forgets his consciousness, he simply says, such and such, and such and such. You follow my thought? So masters came and they unraveled the mystery of life. Who you are, what you are. So all these advanced man has got 3 aspects, you see. It's physical, it has got intellect, but he is conscious being, he is a conscious entity. So we have made so much advancements in the physical way, in the intellectual way, and we have succeeded to a great extent to control the forces of nature and to press them into our service. But unfortunately, this control has come to us before gaining self-knowledge, knowing oneself, who we are, what we are, knowing oneself and our relation to humanity all around. So whatever discoveries we made and whatever inventions we have designed for the service of mankind are being turned instruments of destruction. That is why, because we have founded all these things before knowing ourselves, who we are. If we have known what are connected with other bodies, we are all conscious beings. God is all consciousness. We are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Had we known this relation, realized this relation, then all these discoveries that we have made, these would have gone to help us in service of the mankind. But as we have got these things before knowing ourselves, that is all this, they are turning for the destruction of mankind. So we want, instead of living peace based on fraternal love and goodwill, mutual trust and respect for each other as children of the same Father. This would have been achieved. All these discoveries and inventions we have got now in hand, you know very well. Physically we know so much how this physical body can be kept fit. We've got so many patties for that. Oldest is the Ayurvedic, then comes the Yunani system, then comes allopathy, homeopathy, naturopathy, electronic treatment that keeps our body fit, of course. How diseases arise, how those can be set aside. We have wonderful progress there. Intellectually we have advanced wonderfully, you know, that is before us. We can hear and see from thousands of miles who speaks, what he speaks through the radio, the television. We can go around the world in hours. We have reached the moon, visiting other planets, with all these advancements, we are not happy. The reason why the third side, which is our own self, very self, which is conscious entity, we know little or practical nothing about our own self. We know only that much what is given in the scriptures, or we have written books, and nothing more. So this could have been achieved, the purpose could have been achieved for finding out all these outer discoveries and inventions made for the good of humanity, had we known ourselves first. So is it possible to know ourselves? Master says, yes. So the question arises, the preacher says, what is the knowledge of which makes everything else known? What is that knowledge? And they reply, knowledge of the beyond. That is paravidya. The Master says, knowledge of the high self, the true man, the paravidya, are the knowledge of the beyond. This is one side. The other side is exotic, what is called apravidya. So apravidya consists, you see, of an ethical and moral life and certain practices, certain rituals, certain performances considered necessary for obtaining the knowledge of the beyond. These are elementary. Now you see, you go to churches, we light the candle. We worship, we ring the bell. We perform certain things that way and that way. But now the man without, what is the secret behind, what for these things stand, unless we know that, we are not satisfied. So we have been following all this, the awakening there, the man of today wants what? Something which can satisfy him in a well-defined, clear-cut science, capable of verification by his own experience. They say God is like, they like candle. You see, they ring bells. You find in a place every worship the two symbols in God. What part they stand? If you tell us, then God, when you want to manage the vibration. And vibration is also two things, light and sound. So God is light, God is nada, God is the meaning of the sphere, reverberating in all place. For symbols of that we keep for the purpose of worship in churches, in temples, in all of the holy places of worship. So we have been following that, or we have been reading scriptures. What do they contain? Those are what masters had the knowledge of the beyond. They stepped into the beyond, they rose above body consciousness, knew themselves. Whatever experience they had, they put it down for our guidance in the scripture. Now scripture tells us there is a world beyond. God is light, He is reverberating everywhere. So we have been going on that without seeing ourselves. So man of today wants to know, and every time you see any wicked man would like to have, what is all? We have been for years doing all that. So we have seen that light, we have been lighting candles and sweet memories of God as a symbol of God. It is not the light of God, it is the symbol of God we have got before us. So unless we see the light itself, it's just like, excuse me if I say that the masters have put it, this is just like a blind man who says God is light, God is reverberating all creation, but he has not seen it. Simply goes on what he has read in books or heard. Of course, these are good actions, you see, because they are performed in the sweet memories of God. But real experience is something else. You are the doer. As you saw, so shall you reap. So unless you see that power working all through, that he is the doer, not we, then all the performances is just like preparation of the way, preparing the way for that. Apravidya is the preparation ground for paravidya. But for all these outside men, he comes not satisfied after all what has been. So, the man of the today is not satisfied with the, unless he sees something well defined as clear, but thing which he can verify by his own experience. We should try to see and hear with our own ears and with our own ears rather than the eyes and ears of others. What you read in scripture, it is what they have seen, they have heard, not we. That is for only guidance, for our guidance, that such and such like that. But unless we see for ourselves, we cannot be convinced. So for that, the question comes of man knowing oneself. Is it possible for self-analysis, knowing oneself? So we will have to go in the mystery of the man, what is he? Master did come, they solved the mystery of man and found, and as common sense stands, that man is composed of body, intellect. So we are dead physically, intellectually, wonderfully, as I just submitted to you. But we are not happy with all these advancements because we know little or nothing practically about our own self. Who we are, what is the relation to all mankind around us, and what is connection with some power controlling all creation and also controlling us in the body. So that is why I just submitted the small wise figures, and you ask who you are, you open his eyes, he opens his mouth, he feels something. But as he goes in the earth, outer impressions he receives, he forgets all that. The reason is, our soul is under the command of mind. And control is under the, mind is in the control of outgoing faculties. Outgoing faculties are identified with the body and outside things so much so that you have forgotten also. Now you will find, we have forgotten, son, we are under great delusion, I say optical illusion. Body is made of matter, it is changing. World around us is also made of matter, that is also changing at the same speed as our body is changing. As we are identified with the body, when two things are changing at the same speed, and we are identified with it, you see, it is all stationary. When you come out of this illusion, you see everything changing. So for that reason, Master gave out all masters, whether he came in the east or the west, that makes no difference. They said, Greek philosophers, they said in their own language, O man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. We don't see here at all. Old philosophers, Latin philosophers, also gave out the sense. Nasi tipsa. Persian philosophers, they say the same thing. The ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know self. He says, we have known so much about our physical body. We have known so much about intellectual ways. But if we are not known about our own self, then the epithet they give us is that we are fools. We are ignorant. So man has to dwell all around, physically, intellectually, and spiritually. Other saints come, Guru Nanak says, unless you analyze yourself from mind and matter, and you do not know by self-analysis, all this delusion cannot go. You cannot see the world going in its right perspective. So we are here, you see. Man is the highest in all creation. All masters have spoken very highly about it. It is sad to be next to God. Angels allow us to go down before the man body. It is a wonderful house we live in. But strange enough, we got so many apertures in the man body. Two of the eyes, two of the nose, two of the ear, mouth, two of the knee. With these open doors, we cannot run away out of it. The body works so long as we are in the body. And we are in the body so as long as we are controlled by some higher power in the body. Otherwise, we could have run away out of it. That power which controls us in the body is God power, God in His special power, which has created all creation, all universe, which controls our universe and permeates our universe. So that power also within us, and we also reside in the same body. But the man body has been given us as a golden opportunity in which we can analyze ourselves and know ourselves first. Because if you know, to know that God which is controlling us, pervading all creation, then we must know ourselves first. To knowing oneself is the first step. God cannot be known by the intellect and the outgoing faculties. It can be known by soul, which is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness, and we are conscious beings. When we are analyzed by mind, outgoing faculties and body, rise above body consciousness, we see that power is controlling us in the body. So first step is know self. To knowing self is in two ways. One, we generally do at the level of feeling or drawing inferences. That would you say, it is my body, it is my outgoing faculty, so it is my eyes. Now the point is, see, here's my spectacle. I can put it on. It is mine. Here's my watch. I can put it on. Here's my handkerchief. I put it on. Here's my coat. I can put it on. We say, it is my mind. Can my body? Can you put it? We say it is mine. Not I am not the body. I have the body. But can we put it on? We see it in my outgoing faculty. Can you control the outgoing faculty by working on it? So this is a matter of self-analysis. How to rise above these outgoing faculties? How to rise above this man-body? So this is man-body, the highest in all creation. It is considered to be next to God. It is a wonderful house in which we live. Some power is controlling us in the body. That power we have to know, and that is called God into special power, which controls all creation and controls us also in the body. So truly speaking, the man is the true temple of God, in which we live, and that power that controls us in the body also lives. Is it possible to analyze oneself to rise above body consciousness? That is all Master says, yes. When you are where all the world loves is, and there there is a star. Paravidya means knowledge of the beyond. So Master gave out that the remedy for all ills of the day, as well as the key to know ourselves. So Master tells us all this, they divide. O man, body is the temple of God. Outer churches were made after the model of man's body. Hindu temples are made dome-shaped, headline. And they are put in two symbols of God and crucifixion power, which is light and sound. As I submitted that when God wanted one week to be many, there was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So God is light, God is music of Israel, voice of God. So that power we are. God is all light and we are the children of light. Outer model was made for the beginners to know what is within you. God is within you, and you are also in your body, in the true temple of God. God expresses in the form of light and sound. Churches were made after man body, long nose shaped. They put in there also the same symbol, two symbols, light and sound. Now, you will find in the temple, mosque was made of the man body, forehead shaped. Other churches, you will find the two symbols are put there, light and sound. You worship, you light the candle, you bring the bowl. This is something to show that man body in which you live, that is the true temple of God, is you. We draw from outside and rise above body, God, you will find it there. It is already there. So we are light, children of light. That is why it is in Jain, take heed that the light within you is not darkness. It is melting by covering of mind and matter. If you shake off those, you see light. Light is there. It's only a matter of shaking off the sheets of the man God. So man got so many coverings, you see, physical order there got, you see, physical is there, karmic is there, there are so many other sheets. So we have got your bodies according to the macrocosm. So macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. They are playing their physical lesser in cosmos. So first step starts there when you rise above physical body. This is knowing oneself why. This is a harder curve to take now. But that is the first step. So Master said, well, learn to die so that you may be living. It is just something. Now you find churches, so these are for the beginners to show that such like light is, and such like sound is within you. So man, unless he sees for himself what is what, he cannot be convinced. But all Master says, and the key to success to find himself first and then know God is know oneself. So knowing oneself is a matter of self-analysis, rising our body consciousness and outgoing faculties. The experience of which, demonstration of which can be given by a competent master who is adept in that way. In outer knowledge, you see, there are so many subjects. We sit by the in the feet of those who are adept in those subjects. All those knowledges, outer knowledges, exactly side, we need somebody who is expert on the way to guide us, to help us. What about that knowledge which should be beyond all this? When you rise above body consciousness, with the world philosophy, then there the religion starts. Religion means we means back, leisure to bind. To bind back ourselves with God. This is religion. But yoga also comes from the same word, root, yud, means to connect ourselves with God, unite us. It is already there. Why can't you feel now? Because we are soul. The outer expression of which is called attention. You see? The attention is identified with the body, outgoing faculties and outer enjoyments. So much so, that you have forgotten ourselves. The only remedy is what? To know ourselves practically. The demonstration which can be given by your master, by you immediately. You have also, I think, must have observed in your daily life, when a man is sitting in very much absorbed in some thought, somebody calls you once, twice, thrice. You do not hear. He comes up to you, "Well, dear friend, I have called you so many times. You have not replied," he says, my attention was absorbed from you." What does it mean? Sometimes your eyes are open, you are absorbed in thought, somebody passes by you, you don't recognize him, who has come or not. All this shows, unless our attention is with the ear or eyes, we cannot hear, we cannot see. So, knowing oneself, what does it mean? It means we draw in our outside attention from all outside and from the outside faculties, take it to the seat of the soul in the body, which is at the back of the eyes, where the soul of the dying man leaves the body, and eyes are upturned at the back of the eyes. At the time of death, Saint Plutarch tells us, those who are initiated into the mystery of the beyond, they have got the same experience as a man has at the time of leaving the body at the time of death. So this is a process of withdrawal from all outside and rising about body consciousness. This is how we know ourselves. Why can't we do our own self? Because we are identified with mind, all the faculties, intuition, so much so that we have forgotten. And all practices, all matches, all performed rituals and other things, they all relate to the all faculties, mind and intuition. So there needs somebody who can give us a boost without attention from all outside, raise up from the body, bring it to the feet of the soul at the back of the eyes, and open your inner. So we can see God. Which God? Absolute know. God in the expressing power which is light. And all scriptures tell us he can be seen with what eye? If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. When is that? This is called single eye, or third eye, or latent eye, or the shiv netra. That opens only when your attention is withdrawn from outside. Attention is outward expression of the soul. When that is withdrawn from outside and withdrawn from the body below, and is habited whole at the seat of the soul in the body, and there that eye opens. This is a process of knowing oneself, practical. Not at the level of feelings or dry influences. So both are subject to error, seeing them above. So modern man wants to see what is heard, what is given in the scriptures, unless he sees, he is not convinced. So most of the people are fed up with the outer performance are meant for something, preparation of the ground. But unless some are there to explain what is what, they only go on like a letter of the rule, the letter of the rule, do the spirit. These are facts required as preparation to higher knowledge, but those who preach also they are also ignorant, that's a pity. These religions came into being when? Outer religions, I mean. When masters left the sea. Those who met them, they also saw the mystery of none. Life, they knew themselves and knew the old self. These formations were raised with a very noble purpose, so that many people may derive benefit from joining that formation. As long as there were practical people who could give you demonstrations of all these things, it was going all right. For as time passes, for want of practical people, And further, from the day this faith preaching had started, you see, this preaching was only for those people who found some mystery, solved the mystery, and could explain practically to the other people.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording that was just played was the first half of a talk given by Master in Chicago on October 26, 1972, called Why Do We Not Rise Above Body Consciousness? Our reader this morning is Pradeep Sethi.
Good morning. We would continue reading the question and answer sessions from Light of Kirpal. On Wednesday, we had stopped midway through the chapter titled God's Complaint. Master is asking the disciple, how many hours have you put in today? Disciple, 6, Master. In 6 hours, you had no other thought than God? Disciple, maybe 2. Master, 2? Maybe? Disciple, 2 real hours of meditation. Master, and out of 2 hours, did you have sweet remembrance constantly? You see, I'm afraid even that may not be very true. Then go into it. I have sifted that point. Now you sift it in your own self. You are in constant remembrance for 2 hours. Devotee, with your grace, I had a very good meditation which lasted. Master, well, I'm talking about something else. In your meditations, you had some glimpses for a moment, 2, 10, 15 minutes. You had good experience. Of course, that is creditable. But what I'm talking about is constant remembrance. Like a hard taskmaster, don't spare yourself. We spare ourselves, you see. Diary is like a very hard taskmaster over your head. Every moment should be watched as to what thought crosses your mind and how many times you fail even in thought, word and deed. When you think of God constantly, how blissful it is. No ill will for anybody, no exaggeration, no underrating. The time that you spend in scaling, you are judging. This is like that, this is not like that, this is that way, this is that. That is called delusion, Maya. And that is intellect, you see, Maya. The intellect is the instrument of scaling. Your intellect is always scaling. Devotee, when we are doing our diaries or in the course of the day, when we are weeding out faults from our minds, is that also scaling? Master, scaling is not that. Doing your diaries is weeding out, which is something else. Where your intellect works, that is Maya. Intellect is the instrument of what? Of delusion. Always scaling. That is why it is said that your outgoing faculties must be controlled, mind controlled and intellect also stilled. Then you can rise above easily. These words are very simple. We are always clutching or watching or scaling. This is this. What is that? Most of the time is spent in that. Don't spare yourself. None of you. If you keep the diary constantly, you will have transvision. If there is no ill will for anybody, no attachment to anybody, no deluding your own self and not deluding others, no contempt, no attachment. These things create ripples in the subconscious reservoir of your mind. And if they are stilled, the water is calm. Quite still, then you can see your face. 10th Guru says, if you think of him for a while, 10 minutes or even for a moment, with all your heart and soul, then no negative power can affect you. These are very simple words. Go deep into their meaning. Yes, devotee. Master, what does thinking of God really mean? Master, thinking of God is much better as compared to thinking of worldly things. But seeing is above all. Feelings or drawing inferences are subject to error. The time we spend in seeing is the highest way. Constantly, and then no negative power will affect you. Go deep into this. These very simple words are given in the scriptures, but we simply never go into their depths. Devotee, I don't think even for 2 minutes. Master chuckles, now you said you spent 2 hours. I am very glad to hear your honesty. Yes? Devotee, Master, if we do Simran, is this thinking of God? Master, Simran? What is Simran? It is a repetition of the different names given to that power working in all planes. The same God power working in different planes is called by different names. In the highest plane, it is called Truth. In the second plane, it is called I am you, you are me. In the third plane, you find I am above all three attributes. The same power is called by different names in different planes, but it is the same power that is one. And when you see that power working, that is light and sound. We are always doing some remembrance of the world, something. Every man, whether he is in the office or in the field or anywhere, starts remembering what he has to do tomorrow, here, there, everywhere, this and that, making programs, setting this and that. Nobody can remain without remembrance of one thing or the other. So, remembrance of God is far better than remembrance of the world. Whatever becomes the ruling passion in your life, you go there after death. It is for the world, then you come down to the world. If it is for God, then you return there. Remembrance of God is pointing your attention to something higher working in the universe. But unless you see that power, these are helping factors, are they not? Just go deep down into that thing. Constant remembrance does not mean automatic repetition of names. All the same, automatic repetition is remembering that power. Unless you become conscious of that power, you are just like a blind man. Still, it is comparatively better than thinking of the world. To think of God is much better, but that is also not sufficient unless you see the power. Listen here, I say now, hear this attentively. God complains, I reside in them. God is where? He is in the same house which he has made, and that is the man body. But they dethrone me from the body and put me where? In churches, in the models. These are the models, and they put light there. Instead of seeing me, my light, they see the symbols of light. Are they not dethroning God? Do you follow what I mean to say? God resides in temples which he has made, and people raise up churches and temples constructed after the model of man. He does not reside there. He says, I reside in you, and people have thrown me out. So they raise models which they make with mud and mortar. If they had seen me, they would have known. I am the light within them, but they just light candles outside. He says, the people dethrone me. They don't come where I live. They turn me out into the temples. Is it not true? Do you find that? In church, people light candles, outer symbols. They don't see me in their home. So he says, I'm long forgotten by everybody. It is true. It is a true complaint, is it not? He says, I reside in you. I am light. Take heed that the light within you is not darkened. It's certainly a complaint, is it not? I reside in you. I am the light. I am the sound principle, music of the spheres. Instead of that, they make models and direct people to them. They try to disown me. Excuse me, but the truth remains like that. So God says, well, always see me instead of making models of me outside. Why do you forget me? I am in your temple residing within you. I reside nowhere else. Is it not so? All the scriptures say that. Then God, I think, is quite justified to complain. If you love some friend of yours, you remember him. Is it not better to see him? Which is the better of the two? Seeing is better? He stands by, watching you, within you, waiting for you, and we are doing this and that thing. We make models of light and of the sound principle, and He is within you. We don't talk to Him within. This is what men are doing in all the religions. They are making models. They attach too much importance to those things and not to the man body where He Himself resides. He's waiting for you there. Does what I say appeal to you? Is it not something substantial? Is it not something real? And what are we doing, devotee? Wasting our time. Yes, Master chuckles. If some thief enters a room where he knows there is wealth buried, he knows he's got a clue about where it is, he's read about it somewhere, and he's all alone in that room with nobody to watch him, what will he do? Will he sleep or dig under the earth? Nobody's watching him while he's digging. Nobody has seen him. Dig, tap inside. That is what Emerson said. That this is what all scriptures say. The Quran says, I am a hidden treasure within you. Why don't you find me? Guru Nanak says, there's a valuable jewel lying within you. Just be guided by the word of the master and you'll get it. Why not dig for your own self? Go within and find him. He is there, waiting. For that, you will have to close yourself within the closet of the body. That's all. Not thinking of the outside world. God's complaint is very real, is it not? It's only for the sake of bringing home this point. It does not mean God complains, but this is what we actually do. We even make a mockery of God by lighting candles here and there and ringing bells. He's within you. By drawing people to close things, you are deceiving your own self. You are deceiving God and all other people too. By ringing the bell and lighting the candle and making dome-shaped buildings, is it not a mockery? This is a good story for you. It will draw many people. So every day you get something fresh, not given in books. At least out of the 24 hours of the day and night, leave and spend some time with Him within you. That costs you nothing. Does it cost you? Then you come from thousands of miles. What for? Only to learn these few words. Spend some time within you. God says, I am within you. Don't make a mockery of me. Is it not a good story for you to write? All right. Next chapter. Removing the weeds, little by little. February 31, 1971. Hello. Going strong? That's good. Devotee, when I do my diaries in the evening, I forget the more delicate failures I committed all during the day. So what should I do, Master? Do you remember the Pellman system of memory? How to improve your memory? That was written by one Pellman. So, in the beginning, this is what you have to do. I rose in the morning. I went to the bathroom, took my bath, then took breakfast and went away to my office and so forth. Now, further, when you rose in the morning, what thought was crossing in your mind? During the day, when you came to the bathroom, what were you thinking of? We simply watch the progress of the physical body, not the mind. And in that way, man is asked to train himself to remember from morn till evening. The memory becomes strong and there will be an improvement. This you also have to do for your self-introspection. You have to weed out. Recall what thoughts crossed your mind. In the beginning you say, that's all right, everything was going all right, few failures, but if you go deep into it, you will have to show that it was not right. Sometimes you'll remember, he told me this and that, and I called him names, that was all right though, this was tit for tat, but later on you will say, well, if he has done wrong, why should I? Reactions come from failures and that reaction strikes you more than once. All those reactions are your failures. This is how you have to weed out your hidden imperfections or failures. This diary is a quote, a very hard taskmaster over your heads. It is not an ordinary thing. In the beginning, you'll find very few failures, but as you daily go more deeply, you'll find more and more and more. Really, they existed, but we had never gone into reading them out. I have read the lives of great men, many great men. Each one had some system of watching his failures and weeding them out. Hafiz was a great saint. He used to throw one pebble in the pile of each failure. After a while, there was a big mound. In the beginning, man does not remember. But in the way I just described to you, your memory will also become strong. It is the way of Pillman's system of memory. And further, you will know how many failures are there, how many scorpions are under your bed. At present, we do not know how many there are and you have to weed out. Suppose there is some dirty water with weeds also growing on the surface, then how can you see your face? Just remove the weeds little by little, throw them off, weed out, the water will remain. When it is still, you will be able to see yourself. This is the most important. It is called purity of mind and is very much necessary for meditation. Hitherto, as I told you, when people went to their masters, to their gurus, they first make the utensil clean, then put something into it. Ibrahim was a saint. He was a king who left his kingdom and came to Kabir. Lived with him for 3 years, 4 years. He was quite obedient and did not ask for anything. Whatever was given to him, he would eat. He would do whatever he was told to do, like a bought slave. So Louis, the mother of the house, told Kabir, "Well, he's quite ready. Will you give him something now?" And Kabir told her, "No, his vessel is not yet ready." She said, "What more is wanted? He's very obedient. He does not say anything. Whatever you give him, he eats. He never grumbles. All right, tomorrow morning, when he goes out of the door of the house, you put all the refuse of the house into a basket and throw it over his head. Then listen to what he says." Next morning, when Ibrahim went out of the house, Louis put all the house refuse over his head. Ibrahim said, "Now, had this been Bukhara," he was the king of Bukhara, you see, "this would not have been. His ego was still there. I'm a great man living at his door." When she told Kabir, he said, "I told you, his vessel is not ready yet." Then, some years passed, he remained there for more than 10 years. Then one day Kabir said, "Now the vessel is ready." Louis said, "There is no difference outwardly." Kabir said, "All right, tomorrow morning when he goes out, just throw all the night waste over his head." The next morning she did so. Ibrahim said, "God, I'm worse than that." And Kabir said, "Didn't I tell you? He's now ready, you see?" So, hitherto, these things were given to you for the purpose of preparing you, cleaning your vessel first. Where's the time now? Can you afford to spend years at a master's feet? The times have changed, so now you get something first. How great a concession it is. Then you are asked to weed out. Diary is only for that purpose. The more you weed out, the more you come in contact from within, the quicker the results will be. So it is a great concession given nowadays. This is a very dark age, of course, what they call the Iron Age. And much has to be done. Diary is very important. Do nothing more than to weed out all imperfections, and you'll have transvision. But transvision is no spirituality, I tell you. You develop that naturally. It follows. Spirituality, as I told you, is a matter of self-analysis, knowing oneself and coming in contact with God overhead within you already. Yesterday, I was telling you that you are mocking God. Master chuckles. "Is it not so?" He says, "I reside within you and you put me into temples made of stones. You drive people away from me, lighting candles and ringing bells, this and that. I am within you. I have told you." It is something like that, is it not? So, seeing is believing. Mere belief feelings or drawing inferences are subject to error. you find so much time for other pursuits. Out of 24 hours, perhaps you're spending 18 hours, 20 hours in other pursuits. What time do you devote to your own self? And this is the most important thing with you. A man who is unlearned at the time of death won't become learned after leaving the body, you see. He remains for years what he has become at the time of his death. So that is the reason for the motto, now or never. Now or never, if you don't care for the present, then the future cannot be set right. Now, further, live in the living present, and even further, the living moment. So this is a most vital question concerning our own self. All other things are related to give and take. You have to finish off, wind up. What you have sown, you must reap. And one thing more, don't sow further seeds, that's all. This is a time when you can go back to your home, your true home. But what are you doing? We are like prisoners whose term is coming to completion, telling his fellow prisoners, look here, keep this article with you. I'm coming again. Sowing seeds to come back again? Don't sow further seeds. Pay off what you have already sown. What I am talking about now, is it not important? Is it not most important? Devotee, yes, indeed, important. Master, then we leave, we have to leave the body someday, but when nobody knows, even on the way, we could be cut off then. We are nowhere. And that is why saints tell us, laying great stress on that which is your bread of life and water of life. So on spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. This is what we mean. This is the gist of all scriptures. You do not have to leave the world. Pay off what you have to pay. Wind up all, give and take, and direct your way back to God. Man is the highest in all creation. If we don't make the best use of this time, then we have to come again like that prisoner. All right, keep this with you. I'm coming here again. So it is high time to go back to our home. But we just keep paying off and sowing new seeds to come back. Do you want the other life after death, only to have to come back again? Why not go to your home? And for that, we have done little. So God says, I am the light, I reside in you, and we, what do we do? God lives in the body which he has made, this man body. It was made in the womb of the mother by him, and we make his homes of stone, and direct people to go there. So we are dragging people away from him. Excuse me if I say so, Master chuckles, but outer things are only symbols to show that such like light is within you. Well, really, that light is within you. So body is the temple of God. Those whose eyes are open see the light within, not outside. We light the lights outside, ring bells outside. They are but the symbols of nada and light within you. So these are only imitations. Imitations sometimes are more attractive and people are deluded. Real diamonds are very few, but imitation diamonds are plentiful. This is the difference between apravidya and paravidya. We make symbols of light our friend. Raise the dead body. It is within that we have to turn to see the light. You people who have ample resources for that time, convenience, and can make arrangements, but most of us are so much given up to outside things, we have little time or no time to think about our inner development. Anything? Any questions? Yes, devotee? Master, in my profession, I do a lot of traveling. Master, yes, that's all right. Devotee, and I have to spend many nights in hotels. Master, that's all right. Devotee, is it right if I go to the room where I have to live for many days that I pray to Master that he will purify and clean this room from the bad radiation or bad thoughts or whatever? Master, in the West, of course, you do not carry your bedding with you. Devotee, no. Master, because they are supplied there, one thing can be done, turn within. You know how to meditate? Devotee, I try to. Master, at least you know how. You may have had some experience within you, have you not? So pray and go within. That will work as a sheet anchor against any outward influences. That's the only way. Generally in traveling, we forget meditation. That's a pity. When you go to any place where you have to rest for the night, put in more time for meditation. When you have constant remembrance, you become as an air-conditioned room. So by regular practice, you will have that. Regularity pays. Habit turns into nature. I remember Emerson, a great man, said that when he wanted to be alone, he used to go to an inn. Hundreds came and hundreds went. Nobody cared for me. I did not care for anyone. I was all alone to my own self. He said when he wanted solitude, he did not go to the woods, but to some inn. There you are left to your own self. People coming and going, nobody knows who you are. We strike acquaintances with others. What do we generally say? How do you do? From where have you come? What are you? What are you doing here? Why not leave all these things? This is what Emerson said, you see. All great men have something special in their lives. He wanted solitude in an inn or a hotel where there is regular coming and going and nobody cares who is who. This is training, you see. The whole pity is we don't come to our own selves. That's the point. If you live within your own self, nothing from outside can affect you. You may use your outgoing faculties for any particular thing you want to do. These slaves should be under your orders, not enslave you. That's the point. We simply form the habit of being enslaved. Now, as I explained to you, is it not like going to an inn where nobody cares of you are who you are, unless you strike a friendship and you live within your own self and go with the work you are given to do. So we can live in the world and yet out of it. Hello, hello, how have you come? How? By? Devotee, by train. Master, by train? All alone or with anybody else? Devotee, no, fine, oh, just me. Master, all right, everyone else okay? Devotee, yes, they are all okay. Master, that's all right. You have made the best use of your time there. Devotee, yes. Master, in meditation? Devotee, yes. That's all. One man left from here, so one shortage is made up now. Have you brought any news from Delhi? Devotee, no, nothing special. Master, all right, glad to see you. Have your breakfast now. 9:25, time flies on like anything. All right. And my time also comes to an end and the chapter is complete. I started midway through reading the chapter on God's complaint and completed the next chapter, removing the weeds little by little. Thank you everybody for listening and thank you, Master, for bringing us together to your feet.
Thank you, Pradeep, for reading for us. There were 78 people at this morning's satsang. Thank you, Master, for providing this for us. And thank you, everyone, for attending this telephone satsang.
So blessed you are, you've got the man body, and it is a high time to make the best use of that. Be spiritual. Remain anything. You may have any label you like. That is meant only to make you spiritual. To know the spirit in you, you are spirit in God.